Yeah, so John Creeland, how does it feel to be awarded an honorary doctorate today by the University of Warwick?
I feel very honoured and privileged. Warwick's a great university. It's one of the world's best universities.
Absolutely.
So to be recognised for whatever I've managed to achieve in my career by Warwick, I find quite humbling.
And today you'll be graduating alongside those who've studied, you know, typical, vital business skills such as accountancy and finance and the like. But your background is in Indian and African history, I believe. That's what your first
Yes.
degree was in. How did that lead you to the career you've had now and ever since?
Well, it's a curious coincidence, but Coventry is the key. So when I was at Cambridge, I was involved in something called the Student Industrial Society, which is one of the most lively student groups as an undergraduate. And what it did, it took people on factory tours. And one winter morning, very early in the morning, unconscionably early for a student, we got up and got on a coach and came to Coventry to visit the Massey Ferguson tractor factory. Mm. Now, this is Massey Ferguson 35 years ago. I'm talking about 1980 or early 1981. Yeah. Very different time. Industrial relations was Britain's Achilles heel. And there was a major industrial relations problem that the company was facing at the Massey Ferguson plant. And you could feel as you walked around the factory floor that this business had some real challenges. And I came out of that visit thinking, we can't go on running our economy like this. This is around the time of the winter of discontent. Yeah. We need to do things differently. There has to be a different way to improve our economy. And then I saw a job advertised at the CBI, and I thought, I can make a difference there. I joined the CBI in 1982.
So the CBI itself was formed in, I believe, 1965.
Yes.
So you've been there for, you know, the majority of its existence. Obviously, it was
in a
conglomeration. Yeah, three separate trade organisations coming together to form a CBI. And so the CBI, like Warwick, is both celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. And we're proud to house here the archive of the CBI as our modern records centre.
Yes.
And so looking back on sort of your 35 or so years working in the CBI and that archive, what do you think someone, a 21-year-old graduating today, could learn from that history and learn through those records of British, you know, trade relations and trade as a sector?
So I'd urge anybody, and particularly the historians here at Warwick, to spend some time in the CBI records. You'll find some absolutely fascinating crown jewels. I just took files off a shelf. I found a file called Operation Brain Drain. And in the early 1960s, we were so concerned in the CBI about our top scientists going to America that we had a project called Operation Brain Drain, not to do what you would expect the CBI to do, which is argue with government about how you kept scientists enthused and enthralled in Britain's universities and factories, but actually approaching individual scientists who'd gone to America and trying to encourage them to come back. It felt like something out of a James Bond movie. Mm. So there's fascinating history of the CBI, but the mission of the CBI has always been the same. The times may have changed, the politics may have changed, but the mission is to promote the long-run growth of the British economy for the benefit of everybody who lives in our country.
And we've picked on it earlier when you were describing that trip to the factory and seeing sort of the winter of discontent and those trade and business employee-employer relations. And it was a difficult period, you know, the early 1980s were a difficult period for that. And one of your fellow honorary graduates this year is Francis O'Grady, who's General Secretary of the Trade Union Congress. And sort of thinking about, you know, employee-employer relations, you know, as the CBI is the main trade association for businesses and employers. One thing I'm going to ask you both is, in the next, you know, 5, 10, 20 years, how do you see those relations developing? Because we're currently seeing, with the current government, a move to sort of restrict strike. The trade unions would argue restrict the rights of workers into a call ballots and the like. How do you see relations developing?
So this was the principal problem of the British economy when I joined the CBI in 1982. Today we have pretty harmonious relations between employers and trade unions, and pretty harmonious relations in the workplaces that don't have trade unions, which is half of all the workplaces in Britain, between employers and their workers through works councils, staff associations, whatever mechanism works for the workers in that business. I don't think this is any longer the problem. The evidence of that In the credit crunch in 2008-09, which was a very deep recession, unemployment in Britain only went up by 2% when the economy contracted by 6%. Why was that? Because bosses and workers were able to find ways through this. Car factories stopped work for 3 months without a strike, without a union problem, because the unions recognised it was either 3 months short-time working or no job at all. KPMG moved to a four-day week. At the end of the recession, they had difficulty getting people back for 5 days. These things happen naturally because relations are now much more harmonious.
And that's maybe one of the more immediate issues facing our economy and workers in this country and businesses working in this country. But undoubtedly, in the next few years, the biggest question that's going to be facing all of us is Europe. It's something which, you know, ever since our entry into the common market has plagued politics of all sides. But this is only the second time we'd have had a referendum on our membership of the now European Union. One of your predecessors, Digby Jones, is touted as a possible leader of the No campaign to leave the European Union. But your current president, Sir Michael Rake, has said that we need to shout from the rooftops, you know, increase our volume on why we should be members of the European Union. How do you see this referendum developing? And what are your thoughts at this stage, before the Prime Minister has really started his negotiation, on what you would be encouraging your businesses to support or to reject or call for?
This is one of the most important questions of the day, as you rightly say. And because it's such an important issue, there isn't a single voice on this. There are many voices. And I respect all the opinions in the business community. And there's a full spectrum from Eurosceptics to Europhiles. But actually, my job as head of the CBI is to speak for the highest common factor, the position which represents the largest number of businesses. I have the privilege to have a membership that speaks for 190,000 SMEs and large companies alike. And the overwhelming majority of those want Britain to remain in a reformed European Union. So they don't want to leave, but they don't want the Europe of the status quo. They want a better deal that they can be enthusiastic about. So Britain needs to remain in a reformed EU. That's what business and the CBI is saying. We're very clear what reforms we want. We want Europe to do more of what it does well, open markets, and less of what it does badly, regulating our lives. I'm confident that those reforms can be achieved. I think they're good for Europe as a whole. I think we have lots of European allies behind those reforms. If and when the Prime Minister can bring back the bacon, bring back that reform package, then I think we can be enthusiastic about staying in that reformed EU.
And in that, in that discussion of sort of the businesses with having to make those decisions, you mentioned SMEs, and we sometimes may think of a CBI as an association of large businesses, but, you know, SMEs and micro businesses are an important part of the CBI membership and the work that it does. And many of the people who will be graduating today will be hoping to form those businesses.
Yes.
What would you be telling them, you know, 21-year-olds starting out, why should they join the CBI? What is the benefit to them?
Because no company is an island. And every company is facing issues which it can't tackle on its own. Skill shortages. Skill shortages as the economy picks up. And the economy is really flying at the moment. The businesses they're joining have nothing but commercial opportunity. But they're then short of engineers and project managers and people with good consumer-facing skills. How can businesses tackle that on their own? Even smallest businesses need somebody to speak up for them. And that's what the CBI does.
And finally, we've mentioned one of your predecessors, Digby Jones, but of course another of your predecessors is Sir Richard Lambert, who is our current Chancellor at the University of Warwick. Do you ever see yourself wanting to succeed him in that role?
Gosh, Sir Richard Lambert's reputation in the higher education sector, author of course of the Lambert Report, speaks for itself. He is a class act anyway, but a class act when it comes to higher education. I'll leave being a Chancellor to Sir Richard.
Well, I certainly agree on your praise of Sir Richard. Thank you so much for your time, John Quillen. It's been a great pleasure.